Hello, we have the last talk from this track and before the break and the plenary. So we have flood vulnerability index for coastal communities linked to mangrove forest based on the Coast Map Urbana project in Colombia by Maria Fernanda Pena Valencia. He also has some other colleagues to work on this project. So let's hear it up.
Okay, thank you. So good evening, everyone. My name is Maria Fernanda Peña. I am a biologist from Medellin, Colombia. I am also part of the Youth Mappers chapter of the University of Antioquia in Medellin. I'm going to share with you part of a project that we've been carrying out since 2017 in our Youth Mappers chapter. This is a project that is still in process. So the name of this presentation is Construction of the Flood Vulnerability Index. For coastal communities that are linked to mangrove forests. This is based on the project Coast Map Urabá. Well, from the human perspective, natural hazards are geophysical events that endanger lives of different people around the world. But this danger is not only a result of the geophysical event, it is also a result of the different human environments, like social, economic, political environments. Then a natural hazard become a natural disaster depending on both components. One of the most significant geophysical events that usually result in natural disasters are floods. The exposure to it is increasing worldwide due to climate change and population growth. Natural disasters occur worldwide. However, it's in developing countries where usually its impact is greater. Colombia is not the exception. In fact, floods has always been a serious threat for its population. Colombia is here in the north of South America. I also highlighted Romania. So in the southern region of the Caribbean coast of Colombia, close to the border with Panama, is located Urabá Gulf. It is a gulf characterized by having coasts surrounded by mangrove forest. These are forests that have a very unique characteristic because they are the greatest terrestrial carbon reservoir. That is a key, they are a key element to face climate change. This gulf is full of these mangrove forests because a lot of rivers discharge their waters here in the Gulf. And two of the most important rivers are in the west side of the Gulf, the Atrato River, which forms one of the major river deltas in Colombia. And in the east side is the Turbo River, that is close to a city, the city of Turbo, just right there. These two rivers has in common that in their deltas and surrounded by mangrove forest are located two fishing communities. Here's the community of the A River. I'm going to call it like that from now. Is this community. As you can see, they live basically in the river, in the water. Everything is water and moves over there. But somehow they have managed that the water usually don't get into their houses. There's just a few exceptions. While in the other side of the Gulf, in the community of the T River, in the east side, they have suffered a flood event in 2010-2011 that affected many lives, and a lot of people have to leave their homes. So knowing all of this information and understanding that this is not only the context of these mangrove forests and communities in this area, but in many other places in our country, we wanted to start a project that could include mitigation of natural disasters, protection of ecosystems like mangrove forest, and resilience of communities. We found then in these two communities like a good point to start. And this is how basically the Coast Map project started. So as part of the project, we want to answer these two questions. How vulnerable are the communities to a natural disaster like floods? And how the conservation of a key ecosystem like mangrove forests will increase their resilience? Worldwide efforts are made to understand and to solve these kinds of questions. And among the strategies to achieve this is the mapping of flood events in a region and the analysis of flood of vulnerability and resilience of human settlements to natural disasters as a result also of some flood event in this case. To assess vulnerability and resilience, we wanted to use this index developed by Balica in 2009, and it's an index used by UNESCO. So we started working with the index, but we have to do a lot of modification of the index. So at the end we said, well, this is kind of a new index based on this one, because we use some of their equations and definition of concepts. Concepts like the definition of vulnerability, that is, there are many definitions of vulnerability, but this one is, vulnerability is composed by exposition, susceptibility, and resilience. And this is an important point in our project, because there are also many definitions of resilience, but we wanted to use one that fit in the framework of the social ecological systems, because there's still the idea that here we are, the human beings, and in this other side are the natural ecosystems. But that's a wrong idea. We are all part of the same system. So we wanted to work under that framework. Then our definition is, resilience is the ability of socio-ecological systems to absorb recurrent disturbances, such as hurricanes or floods, to retain essential structures and processes. The methodology to collect the data for that index have five main steps. One is the socialization of technical methodologies and objectives of the project with the communities. We share with them all the project. This is another important part of this project. We work alongside the community in all the process. Then when the community accepted to work with us, we start the phase of the remote mapping. Here we use hot tasks, then we use the OpenStreetMap platform. In this phase, we organize the work field, and then is the field work where we make some surveys, social and economic surveys. Then there's the integration of how we use field paper, for instance, for the field work. Then there's the integration of the information collected in the field work with all the polygons and lines drawn in OpenStreetMap. Here we're using JOSM. And then is again the socialization of the results and the maps with the community. So some of the results or the information that we got from the community was that basically both communities have a lot of young people, especially the community of the A River in the west side. More than the 50% of the population are between 0 and 20 years old. That's a lot of young people, a lot of kids. Also, we corroborate that the main economic activity is fishing. In blue is just fishing. In orange is fishing and other other activities like wood cutting. And also we can see that the community of the T River on the east side has more options of economic activities. That makes sense because they are close to a city. Also, now we know that basically they don't know what climate change is, which is bad because we are all affected by climate change, but these communities are directly affected in many ways by climate change. But it's good to know that most of the people understand the importance of the conservation of the mangrove forest. Here I'm showing you the process of the mapping activities in the OpenStreetMap platform. As you can see here, this community is not too big. This is just 1 kilometer. Here I'm showing you the entire city of Turbo. The community, we included all the city in the mapping activity, but the community is just this part, from the Turbo River till this part of this little bay here. After that was how it was the map, and then how it is now. With that map that we create or draw in OpenStreetMap, we then created this other map. You can see here in red are the houses that where the water get into, and in green are the houses where the water don't get into. They're distributed homogeneously in the space. So basically, the houses where the water get into are houses that are elevated less than 30 centimeters from the ground. But for the other community, this is for the community of the west side, for the A River. And this is for the other community in the T River. All of these houses are less than 10 centimeters elevated from the ground. So the reason why these houses, the water getting into these houses is because they are close to the Turbo River. I'm not showing here the entire map as it's very large, but these are the houses near the river. Oh, and also we found out that the water that get into the houses is not from the sea, it's just from the rivers, because the mangrove forests work as a barrier, so it's protecting the communities from flooding from the sea. So finally, the index. All of that information, we organize it in three components of the community: the social economical component, the physical, and the ecosystemic component. So here's an example so you can't understand. We have here, for instance, the social and economic component. It has indicators of each component, but let's say factor of vulnerability. So exposure, susceptibility, and resilience. So for instance, we have population in the flood prone area. So yeah, there are a lot of people exposed to floods. But if also they don't have idea what climate change is, that is susceptibility. So you're adding more vulnerability to the exposure. But if you have, for instance, the community have a warning system, then this is a resilience indicator. So this will reduce the vulnerability. All these indicators have different units. So what we do is standardize between 0 and 1 all the values of the indicators, so we can operate with all of them. So finally, at the end, we have to calculate an index for each component of the community. It's exposition plus susceptibility divided by resilience. And then we sum all of the components, the vulnerability index for each component. And that's how we got the total vulnerability index of the community. Then we divide this by 3, so we can keep the 0 and 1, between 0 and 1 number or value. These are the results of the index for these two communities. This preliminary index shows that the community of the B River, the west side, has a intermediate vulnerability, where the social component is the one with the highest value. And it shows that the other community apparently is not vulnerable. As I said, this is still in process. This is not ready. There's still a lot of work left to do. However, these are not crazy results, and this shows interesting information. When you compare the community of the T River with the B River, they are way too better. They have less kids. They have more options of economic activities. They can't leave their community if there's an emergency. And that doesn't happen with this other community of the B River. They're basically isolated. The only way to get in there is using a boat. There are no highways. You cannot even get in there using a helicopter because there's no way to put it. So when we showed these results to the community in the socialization phase, the last one of the project, the community, when they saw this high red bar, they were like, what? We're in that position of vulnerability. So they immediately started to a discussion of what they could do to change that. So it was really good, that part. Now what we have to do is to organize better this index so we could show this to the government. So we could, you know, the idea is this could lead to decision making. So some conclusions for this first phase of the project are, in both communities, the threat of flooding due to the increase in sea level does not configure a risk factor because the mangroves protect the population. The vulnerability of the communities of the west side, the B River, to floods in intermediate, and the social component is the one that needs more work. There is evidence of the importance of the link between human communities and natural ecosystems. And although the construction of the index is in process, it is a project with great potential. For instance, like a year ago, the national government declared the Atrato River, the A River, as a river with rights, like if it's a person. So there have to be done a lot of projects that aim the protection and preservation of the river. And also, like 3 weeks ago, the regional government of our department signed an order for the conservation of these mangrove forests in that Gulf. You might think, well, that wasn't existed already. Not exactly. I'm not saying that everything is bad. There are a lot of institutions and people and projects that work for the conservation and preservation of the natural ecosystems in Colombia. But there's a lot of work left to do. We still could do way better. And I really think that this project that integrates communities and natural ecosystem could be a good way to do better. If you want to know more about the project, or if you want to collaborate, if you want to participate, I invite you to take a look at this story map. Here's the QR code. There's also information about our research group. Or if you rather, I have some cards there with my contact if you want to write. There is also the QR code. I want to thank the communities for letting us work with them, for participate, for open the doors of their community to us. I want to thank Youth Mappers and Hot Microgrant for support the first step of this project. And thanks to all of you for your attention. If you have any questions.